We owned it. We were married in 1914. And Earl and I, my brother and I, we bought the Wilkson land there. It's where your house is on that lot south, you know.
Yes.
And the lot on the left as you go up towards Schuster's. That belonged to Wilkson's, and across the road from where you live, okay. Oswald says. That was in 1914, and I guess it's about that time that we let old Mr. Vanderhoof take it over. I should say we sold it in about 1915 to him.
To who'd you sell it to?
Vanderhoof.
Vanderhoof?
Yeah. William Vanderhoof, his name was.
Mm-hmm. So you operated the ferry yourself?
No.
No?
No, we never operated. We acquired it when we bought that land, Wilkson land. And then we let, we didn't get anything out of it, but we let one of the Wilksons have what they could get out of it and run it, and then we sold it to Mr. Vanderhoof.
Oh, you sold it to him. That's what I didn't know. That was in 1915.
Well, I should say it was. Yeah. I haven't any record of it.
No. And then he ran it until the bridge was built?
He ran it... Yes, about that. No, not up till that time.
Not that late?
No. As I was up here in the store with the... And he'd given up the ferry before that.
Then how about the ferry down at Crown Point? Did you ever have anything to do with that, the Brooks Ferry?
No, but those Brooks, John D. Brooks that owned it was my grandfather.
Yes.
And you know that ferry, that ferry there at I got a record of it. That early days, there was just three ferries there. The Fort Franklin is where you are.
Yes.
And the John Witherell Ferry, that's where Leon Swinton lives. And then the Brooks Ferry, the first, that used to be called, at first, on the record, was Frost Landing. And then it was named Kathleen Ferry, and then the Brooks Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
That ferry had three names. My early years, I just stayed in there with my grandfather a lot, and he never run the ferry himself too much, but he hired somebody, you know, because he had the store there, and at his farm and the ferry.
Who did he hire to run it?
Leon Swinton's grandfather, Thomas Stafford.
Thomas Stafford was Leon's grandpa. Yeah.
And he was all curled up with rheumatism. Tom Berry run it for my grandfather after that for a while.
Then who did Brooks sell it to? Hustis? Or?
Yeah. Well, you see, my grandfather passed away, and it, my Aunt Effie come into the... That property all went to her down there, and she Walter Walker. That's Wade Walker's now. He was a cousin of Wade Walker. He run it part the time, and he hired somebody on there to help him run it days that he didn't run it. And then after Walter died, my aunt remarried Louis Hanfield. He run it quite a while. Then there's a Mr. Still that you run it for Louis Hanfield a while. Then they sold out to Howard Hustis.
And Irving too, Howard and Irving?
I don't know if Irvin is interested in that or not.
I think Tiny said that Irving ran it in 1933.
Well, he must have gone in with Howard then. Two brothers. I didn't know much, remember much about that.
Do you know when they first had the motor on it?
Well, Howard was the first one that put Howard in. If Irvin was with him, they were the first ones that put a motor on it.
Do you know when that was?
No. No. I don't remember.
Perhaps I can find out from the Hustis.
Well, it was probably about the time when Tony said that Irvin was there within those years.
In the early 1900s, maybe.
I don't think they used a sail. When the Hustis boys bought it out, I don't think they used a sail. I think they converted it right over to a motor.
I see. Did you used to ride on it a lot?
Oh, yes.
Did you drive it? Or
no.
Steer it or whatever?
No, not. I never tried to run it.
You were too young then?
Well, I have crossed it a lot since I, even when we used to do most everybody in the west part of the town, they do their trading, you know, and banking over in Crown Point. And that was the means of transportation.
Yes.
Across. And we would go over a lot over there.
How about church? Did you go to church over there or over here?
Well, our church, we belong to this church here. I used to go, my grandfather, when I was young, I used to go to live in them down there quite a lot. He used to go to church, clear up to the Methodist church up in the, they call it the Hollow.
Where's that?
Well, that's clear up. They used to call it Factorville. I don't know what they call it now.
Clafterville?
Factorville.
Factorville.
There's quite a little, three, four little settlements up in that west part of Crown Point, you know.
Yes. I've been up to Penfield's Museum. You know, Captain Allen Penfield?
I don't know.
You don't know about that. There's a museum up in
Ironville.
Yeah.
Well, there used to be a railroad up to Ironville that they had the furnaces there, you know, in Crown Point. And there was a iron mine up in there. And they'd transport the ore down there to go down to the lake. And extract the iron out of the ore, you know, right there at those furnaces.
That was quite a business at that time.
They had iron mines, you know, at Port Henry at that time, same time, too.
And there was beef and meat sold to the workers in the mines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you used to sell some to them?
Oh, yes. When I was down there on the farm, there at, well, one time I broke my leg. Because I raised so many pigs, you know, or hogs there. And I had different sizes. And when I'd feed them, the little ones, smaller ones, I'd try and have them divided. And once when I was out to feed them, I was chasing one of the big brood hogs out of the yard, and a pig ran in front of me, and I tumbled over it and broke my leg right off there.
Heavens.
Yeah.
And some of that pit, you were trying to catch a hog to butcher it, to take it over to...
Well, we used to butcher, the market was good over there for beef or pork either. If anybody has any, if they got any to raise big enough so that they want to sell them, they didn't even have to go to over there to make a market for them. Just butcher it and take it over.
A whole animal or half? Whole pig or half pig? Whole pig.
They'd take 8-10 if you wanted to butcher that many. I've butchered 12 there once at my place and taken them over all at once.
And you didn't have to cut them up?
No.
Oh.
They didn't do much cutting either. They just take it with a cleaver, you know. Them Italians, and if they worked in the mines there, they'd, if they wanted a piece of meat, they didn't care. They'd just take a chunk of it. Oh, half or a quarter.
Was that mostly in the summer or mostly in the winter?
Anytime.
Mm-hmm. On the ferry in the summer and with teams in the winter?
Yeah.
Did you ever go when the ice was thin and had any narrow escapes on the ice?
No, I never did.
No.
I was too big a coward on the ice. I knew if it wasn't safe, it wasn't, if it wasn't a certain thickness, why, they better keep off of it.
What, was it 3 inches or 6 inches or what?
Well, they used to say 3 inches in the fall when it first rolled over. Was that would hold a horse and a team, you know.
Team and wagon.
But I'd rather see 6 or 8 inches.
Yes.
I only crossed there once when it was really afraid. That was before we were married. And my father and I went over in Crown Point, and I went over to the farm right across the lake. It used to be the Trimble farm. And we went over there and bought one horse there, and we went up into towards where the White Church is, and bought another horse to meet it. And this was in the spring of the year. In the morning when it was over, it was cold, and the ice was hard. But when it came back, the sun had come out, you know, and it was near the spring of the year, and it kind of honeycombed, and it was soft. And our horses would step in, you know. And I was really scared then, because quite of a job to get a horse out of the lake when it's just down. There's quite a number of them. I don't know of only one or two horses that drowned there at Port Franklin, but there were several horses that would get in the lake and drowned down there at Brooks Ferry.
It was deeper there and they couldn't get them out. Is that it?
No. I don't know. It was just... I remember one team, especially the very nice team of horses that went on the ice down there at Lappin's Island, down there below Salmon's. Mm-hmm. Used to be a road, and then they come up kind of the corner ways of the lake to Crown Point Ferry there, where the ferry went over, and the road go off there. Well, this fellow got, I don't know what he had on, I can't remember now, but his team got in the lake and they both drowned. And there's several horses that would take chances and then get in the lake there at Crown Point. When the ice was poor, they'd take a chance and drown the horse.
Did you used to work in your grandfather's store down there?
No.
You never did?
No.
Not till you came up here?
No. No, I was too small. I used to have a lot of fun going down there to the store when I lived there with my grandfather when I was folks. Mr. Rastus Bailey owned it. I went down that way the other day with Edward, and we went inside the old store, and it's, well, it's too bad that somebody hadn't kept the building up. I don't say that they'd ever made a go of it to run a store there, but that was a nice building. But it's all the pieces now. It ain't hardly safe to look in.
I went there when the Shepherds lived upstairs.
Yeah.
Urban Shepherd.
Yeah, he worked for
Dervidge?
Dervidge, yeah. I used to deliver groceries out of there.
Oh,
from
yes.
Here. You know, my grandfather, the first store, he built, you know, down below that place, there's another old foundation of another building.
Yes.
Well, that's where he used to have a store there, and it burned, and then instead of rebuilding there, he come up the hill a little bit and built this other store.
Oh. Then when did that property go out of the family, do you remember?
Well, it went out of the family when my aunt Effie had it, and when she passed away, her estate was settled, and Louis Hanfield, he brought in so many bills against the estate that it took it all. He had it all.
I see. And then he sold it to somebody else later.
Yes, he sold. I can't really remember who did buy it, that place.
Of course, the only one I remember is Dervidge. We came in 1947.
I don't think he ever owned it. He was running it on shares.
For Watson? George Watson,
so.
or some Watson, Ernest Watson?
Yeah. He was, this Watson was Martha McCoon's husband.
What? Yes.
Yeah.
You don't know whether it went from Henfield to Watson?
I think so.
You probably may have. And when was it that you gave up the farm that we are on?
I sold out to Chester Way there in 1944, something like that.
Oh, we came in 1947, so it was rented those other years.
When you came, you went in over to the
other place.
Old place first.
Yes.
Yeah. And we still owned that
yes.
farm. And he had a man on there overseeing that farm.
And then Bradley Eustace rented the house for a while after we owned it, while his father fixed up that place down here for him, Bradley and Hazel.
I think Dan lived there too.
Well, he was at the southern one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then when did you come up here to this house in 1944?
Uh-huh.
And did you work in the store then?
Well, we, Kenneth and I, Reba and I had been down, we owned a store down near Brattleboro.
Mm.
And we came up here and Reba and I lived with my father and mother over there where Duclo is now for a year. And my father and I, we done some maintenance work on the farm down there. You know that old tool shed just out in the meadow there from where Joe Riggs lives now?
Yeah, across the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I built it. My father and I built that.
Oh,
that's it used to be a barn up in the lot, just just a few rods the other side of that brook that runs up through there. There was a set of barns up there.
Oh,
that was the first frame barn ever built in Addison County. Was there, and on one. One side of it was for, my father had sheep, and then the other was just a hay barn. And on the side of the hay barn was a long open shed. And we used to keep our young cattle up there. And after we came back from Townsend, my father and I, we had a team of horses over here. We'd go down there and we tore down that open shed and built that tool shed in the lot.
Those buildings up in the field were there when you bought that farm. You didn't put those barns up for the sheep.
Oh no, that was...
Those were there. That was long ago.
Those was built there a long while before my father even.
Yeah. Must have been. It was the first frame barn built. I was going to ask you if you had sheep. Did you have the Merinos?
No. No, we had, there weren't any thoroughbred. There was just a sheep.
Yes.
At that time, there was Merino sheep here in town, but we never liked them. It was too many wrinkles on them, too hard to shear.
Yes. Who did have the Merinos?
Well, there's a man that used to live, you know, where Ernest Charlebois lives, mm-hmm. up in there. And then where Dominic LaPlante's farm was. That was a Burrow, Lewis Burrow, and Herbert Jackson lived where Charlebois lives, and J.C.S. Hamilton up, that's where Carl Peterson lives. He had Merinos. Well, it was, I think they had them down here at the Converse place, down here where Proof lives.
This Proof down here in 22A?
Yeah. And then down where the Merrill's farm is that Proof that lives there?
On the red brick house?
Yeah.
Yes.
They had them there, too. And there was one year, well, there was several years, as I've heard them tell about, that they would And one year, this Herbert Jackson that lived on where Charlie Boys lives, and Carl Hamilton, J.C.M. Hamilton, they took and the others that was raising those sheep, they pulled them and got a boatload and went to Australia with it. And they had one ram sheep that sold for over $2,000, didn't they?
Wow. Didn't Carl Wolcott go to Australia on one of the trips?
Carl Wolcott? I don't think so.
No?
These trips was made before he was, he married Ashley Wolcott's
mother.
Mother.
Evie.
She lived there.
Yes, next to us.
Yeah. They had sheep, they raised sheep there, but he didn't raise any little merinos.
Oh.
Ashley's grandfather, he had a very nice herd of Jersey cattle. They were terrible too. Anybody, even a stranger, is going near there. It was awful wild. They couldn't do anything with them. Well, if anybody was strangers around, they couldn't do much with them. But themselves, the cattle was used to them. They could get along good with them.
That was Parrish.
Charlie Parrish.
And how about horses? Did you have some of those trotters, those famous running horses like Black Hawk or some of his descendants?
No.
Didn't have any of those?
No. Nearest to a Morgan horse that we had, my grandfather Brooks had a Morgan stallion. And he was a very nice horse, but I don't know what his sire was. You know that Black Hawk, Morgan, was kept right down here where O'Connor lives, just down below.
The shop. Lee O'Connor Jr.?
Yeah.
That was the Nyson place?
Mm-hmm.
When Nyson owned him?
No. Hmm? No, somebody before Nyson. I don't know who it was. Those buildings there before they burned, they were wonderful buildings. The outside of them, though, was all fancy work, you know, and it was a real show place.
To go back to the ferries, do you know whether the ones operating a ferry had to have a license from New York or only from Vermont to operate a ferry?
I don't remember any of them ever having to have a license.
No.
Just to permit the land.
I see.
From the ones on this side, and on the other side, Murdoch's, they give them a permit to land.
I see.
But I don't think they ever had to obtain a state license or anything like that to run it.
No. You don't know what year those ferries first ran, do you, at Port Franklin and Crown Point?
No, I don't. The only thing that I can... There was, it used to be a windmill there. That hill, you know, is full of springs.
Oh?
And there's a Frank Cole's daughter. Her husband died here just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Edson.
Well, 2 years ago, they bought a piece of land up on top of that mountain there. And he passed away, and I understand she sold it some rich lady that's going to develop it. And there's a couple of young men that's been here surveying. They're surveying up there. There's 75 acres they own up there.
Oh, gee.
Huh?
Well.
I think they go in from up where Herbie Jackson is, up that way. And the one that's surveying, he's a cousin of the woman who lives upstairs.
Oh.
So he stops here quite often.
Robert's family's been here too.
No,
that's nice. I read that in the paper.
Uh-huh. They're coming up again in October sometime.
Well, do you know who owned the Nyson place before they did? Was it Mr. Hill?
I wouldn't be surprised. I can't remember now.
No.
I don't.
And the church is up on the church steeple just barely shows there. That's the church steeple.
Mm-hmm.
It looks up on a hill. You don't realize it's a hill because now the trees are all grown up.
You know, this Nyson farm down here, when it was, as I can remember it, the first remembrance of it I have of it, that was a regular show place. My, the buildings, The barns were all covered with cupolas, and there were several different additions on the barn, you know.
There's a lot of buildings showing there.
And it was painted kind of a brown, light brown, and trimmed with a dark brown. And there was all this carbon stuff, you know, all over the cornice and eaves. It was, before it burned, it was a beautiful place at one time.
And what?
That's where that Black Hawk Mar stallion was stood.
And what was the Nyson business mostly?